Welcome to this week's episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton, joined here by Jim Patton at Pale Eddie's Poorhouse in downtown Birmingham. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Adam?
I'm awesome. I thought we'd take the show on the road tonight, and might have a little bit of background noise, but everybody's having a good time here. Just wrapping up a Rotaract Young Professionals event here, and so bar's kind of hopping, and so's the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, they're doing good. The basketball team's 1-0, Adam. They're undefeated this year.
That's not exactly what I was talking about, but that is good to hear, Jim.
Well, that's since we started out with that. They did have a victory in their first game against Nicholls State. They're scheduled to play again here in a few days. But their transfer from Virginia scored 21 points, who sat out last year, KT Harrell. And Chris Denson continued his good play, as did Ashawn Dixon Tatum as a rebounder. And we got a true freshman playing a lot of point guard. I can't really pronounce his name, but part of his last name is Dean. And they really showed up well. So anyway, but right, football is what we're talking about now, because the Auburn Tigers are doing some remarkable stuff, Adam.
55-23. It was a slow start. I'll be honest with you. I was a little bit worried there at the beginning.
Well, you know, Auburn threw 7 passes for the game, but in their first 6 plays, they had thrown 4 passes. And their other 2 plays had been negative runs, one of them a sack, one of them a run. But, of course, one of those passes was a touchdown pass, the fourth one, the fourth pass. But they threw 4 passes in their first 6 plays. So in the next 56 plays, not counting kicking game, there were 53 runs and 3 passes, and that's just unheard of. They're physical. They're doing stuff that nobody's done before, both in the running game and in the return game, and it is just awesome to see, Adam, awesome to see.
What do you think made our coaching staff decide to go out with the passing game right out of the gate?
Well, they asked Malzahn that at the game, and you know, because we had run so much the game before, and he figured there would be a lot of people in the box. And we have a good passing game. People think we're one-dimensional, and I've heard people on other radio shows talk about being one-dimensional. You find out somebody's one-dimensional if you stop the run, and then they throw it, and they don't look good throwing it. Auburn's looked good throwing the ball all year, but they are just such a great running team. You can't say they're one-dimensional just because nobody stopped that dimension yet for them to go to their second dimension. They're a return team that get a lot of yards out of that. They're probably the best rushing team in the nation, but they throw the ball well. Sammy Coates has is a deep threat and a big threat, and a quarterback throws it well. And Malzahn has not, the Auburn Tigers have not shown everything in their arsenal yet, and they haven't had to. So anybody who's thinking Auburn's one-dimensional, they got another thing coming, and I bet that's what Malzahn's wanting Georgia and Alabama to think.
Well, and Jim, I'm just sitting here looking at the stats from the Tennessee game. Nick Marshall only had 35 yards of passing.
Yeah, but one of his passes was for a touchdown. But like I'm saying, when you're running the ball and running 450 yards in 50 plays, you don't need to show anybody your passing attack. There's no need to be passing the ball.
And that's where I was going with that. You know, Marshall's 35 yards compared to Tennessee's Dobbs. He had 128 yards, but the big statistic there is 0 touchdowns.
Well, that's correct. And like I say, Auburn can throw the ball, and they're proficient at throwing the ball. But they are rushing the ball better than anybody, and not in some, like, wishbone offense to where you're not set up even to have a real, real effective passing game. And Auburn could easily throw the ball 45 times a game in their offense, and if it dictates that, they can do that. And Malzahn can do that. Malzahn, Coach Malzahn is just a very good offensive mind, and to think that he can't scheme to throw the ball, if people are thinking that, they are really off base.
Jim, we have a good guest tonight. You know, you and I have talked a good bit about the Tennessee game. Our guest is going to look forward to the Georgia game, a little bit of the Iron Bowl, and potentially postseason play. And this guy knows just a little bit about college football.
Who's our guest, Adam?
Well, I sat down two nights ago and had a conversation with Dari Noka, who's the lead anchor from ESPNU. He also does a radio show, Dari and Mel. Some people know Mel Kiper with ESPN. Dari's job is to follow college football, and he has a lot of interesting things to say. So we're going to check in with Dari now, see what he has to say about the Georgia game, the Iron Bowl, and what Auburn's doing from a coaching standpoint. Well, Dari, thank you for joining us here tonight. You got finished speaking at the Over the Mountain Touchdown Club, and had some good things to say about Auburn, and was going to get you to tell our listeners what you're seeing from both the coaching perspective and Auburn's prospects for the rest of the season.
To me, Gus Malzahn is absolutely the coach of the year in college football. This was a team that won three games last year, and I think all of us that follow the SEC thought coming into the season of the four new coaches in this conference, Malzahn, Butch Jones at Tennessee, Brett Bielema at Arkansas, and Mark Stoops at Kentucky, that Auburn would be the one that would have the biggest turnaround. And they absolutely have. I don't think anybody saw this coming. We didn't see a team that maybe, just maybe, we would give a fighting chance to in the Iron Bowl. We didn't see a team that at this late in the season is a top 10 football team, or at any point in the season that's a top 10 team. He went in, he inherited a team that he knew really well, full of offensive talent that he recruited before he went away for a year, and now he gets to coach the kids he recruited, and they are playing like the kids that fit his system perfectly, and he found a quarterback in Nick Marshall that does what he needs him to do. He's not going to kill him, anybody through the air, but he ran for over 200 yards yesterday, and they run the ball well. I think people think, when they think Gus Malzahn, they think throw the ball all over town. They want to run, and they're the best rushing team in the SEC. And their defense is getting better. It's not great by any stretch, but it's getting better. So I think Auburn is not just a team that's here for now, but I think it's a team that may be here for a while.
Auburn coming into this weekend against Georgia, one of the oldest rivalries in the entire country. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think they've got a very good shot. I mean, you know, Georgia defensively can be beaten. They came in with very little experience. You see sometimes defenses come in with a lot of new pieces, and they mature rather quickly, and they improve rather quickly, and Alabama's done that. LSU has done that to some degree. Georgia hasn't really done that, and so I think they're going to have a really difficult time stopping the run of Auburn. You know, the question will be, how much does Michael Bennett back at receiver help Aaron Murray? How healthy is Todd Gurley? Can they put enough pressure on Auburn's offense to have to score every possession? Honestly, I don't think they will. I certainly think Auburn wins this game.
And you, just a few minutes ago, you told the Touchdown Club that you still think Alabama, probably the best team in the country. We don't sugarcoat on this show. Tell us what you're thinking going into the Iron Bowl. What chances does Auburn really have being at home against Alabama? And what do you see for Auburn in post regular season play?
There's no question they have a shot. I think Auburn's got absolutely has a chance against Alabama. The problem for Auburn to me is the defense, and that's where, like we saw when Alabama beat LSU this weekend, we saw an Alabama team in the second half of that game run over LSU. Power run game, the offensive line had worn down LSU's defense, and I think the same thing is probable in the Auburn game, is likely in that game. I think I think Auburn plays with them, and I think we go into the third or fourth quarter, and it's a good football game. But I still think Alabama, because of that power run game, wears Auburn down at the end of the game. I think it's a 7 or 10 point game, but I would pick Alabama to win.
In saying that, where do you think Auburn's going to end up postseason?
Well, I, It's going to be a very good bowl game. I mean, Alabama, I would expect to play for a national championship. So now does the Sugar Bowl deem Auburn as the second best team in that conference? Is that
assuming Alabama's playing Missouri?
That's assuming Alabama's playing Missouri. If Alabama beats Missouri pretty handily, then I think the conference may deem Auburn, if that's another two loss team, which it would be, as its best bet in the SEC in the Sugar Bowl. So Sugar Bowl's possible. If not Sugar Bowl, you're looking at a very good bowl game. Hey, anywhere's better than nowhere, right?
That's right. Better than last year. Well, there you have it, Dari Noka. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
We're back at Pell Eddie's Poorhouse with Jim Patton here, and we heard from Dari Noka. He had some very positive things to say about Auburn.
Yeah, he sure did. I like what he was saying about the Georgia game and the Alabama game. He watches a lot of college football, and it was clear he sincerely thought that Auburn's got a real good opportunity to win both of those games.
Yeah, in very positive outlook for our postseason play, too, especially considering our options we had last year.
Well, you got to spend a little time with Dari Noka, some personal time. Tell us about that.
I don't know about personal time. Dari was the guest speaker this last weekend at the Over the Mountain Touchdown Club, which everyone by now probably knows I'm affiliated with. But I picked him up at the airport, and most of these guys, I've picked up most of the media personalities, be it Dennis Dodd or Pat Forty or several of those guys. They usually are under a deadline and need to get back to their room and do some work. And Dari, on the other hand, he said, well, what do you think about going and getting some wings and watching some football? And so we went to one of the local sports bars here, and several people came up, recognized him, and he said that was a little bit unusual. And I just had to remind him that he's the lead anchor for the college football program of ESPN, and he was in a sports bar in Birmingham, Alabama, which is the college football. I think we all know Birmingham, Alabama, the college football capital of the world.
Yeah, so it wasn't unusual for people to recognize him there.
No, absolutely
not. I heard one of them said, who's that sitting over there with Adam Clayton?
I'm not quite sure about that. I would say one came and asked him if his name was Dario.
You know, the Auburn-Georgia rivalry is really – we do a lot of things with their Letterman Club, and a lot of people have called Georgia running back you. And they've called USC running back you. And there's people that call Auburn running back you. I have found some statistics, Adam, that I don't believe I've ever heard anybody else mention that I was going to tell our listeners just how much Auburn should be considered running back you. You want to hear it. You want to hear it, Adam.
I do want to hear it. You know, our listeners can't see how excited you are, but I can. I want to hear this.
Well, I was doing some research, and I found that there are 8 running backs that played at Auburn University since the date that I played at Auburn University. 8 running backs that are in the top 5 career rushing leaders for their team in the NFL. 9 of them. I'm going to name them and tell you about them in a minute. And before I start, let me say Bo Jackson isn't one of them. His career got cut short with injury. Brent Fullwood isn't one of them. His career got cut short with injury. Lionel James, who set some records for all-purpose yardage, is not one of them.
I'm just trying to think of how many.
Neither is Tucker Fredrickson, who was before me, but was picked number 1 and had a pretty good career, but it was filled with injuries.
I'm just trying to think of how many running backs we must have had since you played.
Well,
that's a statistic in and of itself.
Well, there's been a few, but we're talking about, we're talking about late 70s up until now, but I'm just going to give you a list here. Joe Cribbs is the 4th all-time leading rusher of the Buffalo Bills William Andrews is the third all-time leading rusher of the Atlanta Falcons. James Brooks is the second all-time leading rusher of the Cincinnati Bengals and went on and had a lot of yards with San Diego, too. Rudy Johnson is the third all-time leading rusher for the Cincinnati Bengals. Steve Davis is the fourth leading rusher for the Washington Redskins career and the fifth leading rusher for the Carolina Panthers that Cam Newton's on. Now, Cam Newton's their eighth leading career rusher because their franchise hadn't been around long, and by next year he'll get to number five. But Steve Johnson, of course, will still have the distinction of being in the top five with the Washington Redskins. Cadillac Williams is the fourth leading rusher of all time of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ronnie Brown is the third leading rusher of all time of the Miami Dolphins. And Ben Tate is the fourth leading rusher all time of the fairly new franchise Houston Texans. Now, if Auburn isn't running back you, I don't know who he is. I don't believe USC can say anything close to that, Georgia or anyone. We are running back you, and we are now emerging as the best running team in all of football this year, in all of college football.
That's pretty impressive. And, Jim, I just want to point out, before we talk more about the upcoming games, our previous guest, Will Herrick, had, I almost say, was it five tackles against the Cowboys in the Saints' latest win?
Yeah, he had a good game. He had a good game this time. And, of course, he was on our show, of course. And that raises everybody to heights, Adam. And I just got to say something about our kicking game this year is so good. Our offensive line, they got to be considered one of the best in the nation. They weren't going into the year. But when you run on people like we have with that few passes, you got to be. And our defensive line, I've said it all year, from one to player 11, and that's how many are in the rotation on the defensive line, we've got to have one of the deepest, most talented defensive lines in the United States. And, of course, our running backs and return people speak for themselves. We have a real, real, real good football team at Auburn, and hats off to this coaching staff and the players for turning that around.
Well, Jim, our listeners, we've been talking about going to video. I don't know if you and I are fit for video, but our listeners can't see you like I see you, and they probably can't tell that there's something that's been on your mind for a while that I can tell. And I kind of feel like this should be like that old Seinfeld episode for Festivus when we all air our grievances. But you have a grievance. And I don't think it has anything to do with Auburn football. But we're going to give you – this is now going to be your part of the show to air your grievances.
Well, it's just one thing that's happened this year that doesn't have anything to do with anything about our show. And it is a play – Johnny Manziel, I am a fan of his. I think he's an excellent football player. And, I know this is an Auburn show, but I think he got a bad rap on one play this year. And that's the play I believe most people remember when he's playing Alabama. It's third and long. He scrambles around, doesn't get sacked, throws a ball that looks like he's just throwing it up for grabs, which he was. And he throws it about 30 yards down the field, and it's a completion. And everybody has talked about what a dumb, undisciplined play that was. And now, my brother was a college football coach for 20 years. I owned a semi-pro team. I'm not considered any great expert, but that's one of the smartest plays I've ever seen a quarterback make.
Do you have a Gulfstream jet like the Cowboys?
Do what now?
Did y'all have a Gulfstream jet like the Cowboys?
No, but our bus, did run on diesel. We were pretty clean. We bussed as far away as Jacksonville. But anyway, and we flew around. But here's why that play, to me, was a very smart play by a quarterback. And I know this is off the subject, but it's just been it's ticked me off that nobody said this. It was third down, so if he throws an incompletion, then it's fourth down and you punt in the part of the field he's in. He threw the ball straight up to some tall receivers in the vicinity they would be in. Well, all your offensive linemen and everyone is taught, when the quarterback throws the ball, particularly with that trajectory, you go to the ball at that point. Linemen go downfield. So at worst case scenario, it was a 30-yard punt. If it was intercepted, it would be like a punt, which they would have had to do if it was incomplete anyway. And somebody should make the tackle. The receivers ought to make the tackle. They would be around the ball. But what happened, he knew he had big, tall receivers. They actually did catch the ball, and it was a completion. And I thought it was a brilliant play. And really, the risk did not outweigh the reward. The reward greatly outweighed the risk. Because even if somebody intercepted it and your team didn't do what they were supposed to and they ran it back, it would be the same as they could run a punt back, too. So anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest because I've seen every commentator say what a stupid play that was, and I thought it was one of the smartest plays I've seen a quarterback make in a long time.
All right, so about that Georgia game.
How do we get that to the Georgia game?
Yes. What's my segue here?
I don't know. But you told me we had five more minutes, and I needed to burn up five more minutes, so I did it, okay?
Well, how about telling us something about the Georgia game? What do you think?
The Georgia game, you know, even back when I played, it seemed like the home team didn't have an advantage, and that scares me. But this Auburn team is just good. They're good. So if Georgia's going to beat them, Georgia better play very, very good. And Auburn is actually favored in the game by a few points. And I think they'll come to play, and I think it'll be a great game. But, you know, it's all out for Auburn. What's really remarkable is that we're even having this conversation. If you started the first of the year, what everybody would have thought.
I'm not really sure about this number, so don't hold me to it. But I'm seeing that we were outscored 83-7 in the last two games. Is that right?
Yes. They have had their way with us.
Are we still tied at 54 games?
That I don't know, Adam. But I know all about the rushing leaders.
How about moving to that?
Well, Adam, I think it's time for a good War Eagle. What do you think, buddy?
I do, too. Just to remind all of our listeners, Auburn versus Georgia this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. It's going to be broadcast on CBS. For you lucky fans in Jordan-Hare Stadium, bundle up. I hear it's going to be cold. We have a meteorologist on staff. Also, I think Jim mentioned basketball a little bit earlier. It's my understanding there will be a home men's basketball game on Friday night before the Georgia game. So would urge everyone to go and check that out. Jim, anything else to say?
I'm ready for that War Eagle, Adam. I'm getting fired up about this Georgia football game.
Well, all right. We're going to let you lead us out on that.
All right, Adam. War Eagle.
Damn it.